Great. Well, we've been speaking for actually quite a few weeks now, about 10 weeks, all about vision. Say vision. And we're going to do today and next week, and then we're going to finish with vision. But what I have been trying to do is to challenge everybody to ask the Lord and think, how should we live in different areas of our life? I began the series by saying God has a vision for every part of our life. God never looks at any part of your life and goes, oh yeah, I wonder what we should do there. Do you know God's never come up with an original idea? He's never reacted or responded to anything. God's thought about everything before the foundation of the world. God is intentional. God is a planner. God is not accidental. When God looks at everything, he's got a glorious plan for that part of our life. Would you agree? And what I've been sharing over the last few weeks is it's not enough that God has a plan. We need to know that God has a plan. But more than that, it's not enough that we know God has a plan. We need to know the plan. If I'm walking around with a sense, God has a wonderful plan for my life. What is it? I don't know. I'm just a lost puppy. I'm blind as a goose in a snowstorm. Yeah. Oh, God has a plan. I have no clue what it is. And again, I love y'all. It's great to be back here. I love America. Can I say that? It's nice to be in Europe, but after 2 weeks, it's nice to be in America's, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I like America. Y'all. I meet a lot of great people who sincerely love God, but they just wander around in their lives and have no conception or no definition of how God wants them to live in an area. And or at times what we've done through religiosity is we think of God's plan only in terms of, you know, church on Sunday morning and religious things. God's interested in every part of your life. I tell you, Jewish people, if you look at the way God treated Israel, literally the Bible says every pot and every pan would be holy unto the Lord. Jewish people never separated work from worship. Everything was in everything they did, they wanted to represent the God of Israel, the God of heaven. And so often we've got people who have a Christian life here and then a normal life. And just live like the rest of the world. And I think God has a vision for every part of your life. God's interested in how you bring up your children. Come on, can I say that again? How many of you have kids or grandkids? Do you know God's got a plan for them? And I don't want to sound weird, negative, or wacky, but Satan's got a plan for them too. And if you just let them float down the river, dead fish float, you know, just, oh, whatever, you know, just whatever the school tells them or whatever, like, no. We've got to find God's plan for them. And I think especially as parents, God will show us things that we can pray, that we can speak into. God's got a plan for every part of our life. And what I'd like to do today, briefly, I want to speak about God's plan for us as his children hearing his voice. How should we be led by the Holy Spirit? How should we hear God's voice? What does it mean to be a Christian who hears from God? And I don't know if that interests you. It interests me. I love hearing from God. At times I've got it wrong. At times I've got it really wrong. Sometimes I've learned more from the things I've got wrong than the things I've got right. But I love that. I love people. I grew up as a young Christian with a guy who was like a spiritual father in a way who could really hear from God. And I learned so much from that, and I'm still learning, and I haven't got this all worked out. But what I have got is a vision of how God wants me to live in this area. And I just want to spend some time with you today looking at some principles. Can we do that? Good. So I want to begin in 1 Kings 3, verse 9. In 1 Kings 3, verse 9, let me just set it up. Solomon has just become king. And the Lord comes to Solomon and says, ask me, it's like the genie in the lamp, ask me anything you want, I'll give you one wish, but only one. It's interesting, who was the richest man who's ever lived? Who said Elon Musk? Forget it. King Solomon.
You know, it's interesting. He didn't ask for riches, though, did he?
Who was the wisest man? I mean, obviously Jesus, I know, but outside of Solomon. I wonder if there's a connection there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a thought, but I think at times at school, we do a great job of filling our kids' head with knowledge. Do we fill our kids' head with wisdom? Try. How's it going? Give me some tips now. You know, God loves wisdom. And in 1 Kings 3, the Lord comes to Solomon and says, in a way, ask for anything. And I just want to read one verse, 1 Kings 3, verse 9. It says, Solomon prayed and said, God, give me a hearing heart. I want to pray that prayer over us before we end today. I think hearing from God has a lot less about techniques and method, and you see this and you feel this, and like people get superstitious and spooky at times about hearing from God. I think it all comes from the heart. And God wants us to have a hearing heart. I think if you have a hearing heart, you'll end up hearing from God. And let me set this up. Number one, it's vital that we learn to hear from God. God wants a church. It's not enough that we're a people simply going around with the Bible saying God spoke 2,000 years ago, but he doesn't speak anymore. God still speaks today. God's got things to say to every person in this room. The most important thing God ever says to me is, my son, I love you. Hallelujah, that's where it starts. And you know, there's many people who never hear that. Come on, our kids have got to hear that from us as parents, agreed? You say, oh, they know that. It's sometimes not enough that they know that. We've got to tell them that as well and reaffirm. Do you know, I need to hear God every day come to me and say, Graham, I love you. I love you. If you don't hear that, you'll hear other voices. If you don't hear that, you'll hear shame, you'll hear condemnation, you'll hear all sorts of other things. And guys, I know this is simple, but I promise you it's profound. The key to having God speak to you about nations and specific situations and accurate things and, you know, all of the things we like the stories about is every day developing a walking, talking relationship where you say, Father, I love you. And he says, my child, I love you too. And you actually believe it's him speaking to you. That's the place. Can I tell you guys, that's where a baby learns how to hear. You don't send a baby to school to study British, English, American grammar. A baby learns to hear and learns to speak by quite literally, physically, like laying on the heart of mom at times, being fed and just being loved. And hearing that mom or dad express the heart to the child. Come on, have you ever held a baby? Whatever. Is this a British thing? Oh, bummer. Come on, I'm sure you have. Do you know God wants to take you in his arms and say silly things to you? Sometimes we're just too religious. God wants to hold you in his arms and say, I really love you. And there's part of us that says, yeah, but remember how I failed you. Remember, like Peter, he said, you can't feed his sheep until you know you love him. Do you remember Peter? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. There's a lot of people trying to feed his sheep who don't know that he loves them and they love him. The basis of all ministry is knowing you're loved by God. And I think it's vital, especially in the days we're living in. I don't know. I think we're living in the last days. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's my last days. And it's your last days. We only get one go at this thing. And one thing I know is God wants a church in America who can hear his voice. And again, let me be 1,000,000% clear on this. This is God's voice more than anything. I am not interested in your prophetic gift and your goosebump and your angel tickle or whatever. If it doesn't match up with this, go take a walk in the woods. This is God speaking to us. And the starting place from hearing God's voice is opening the Bible and reading it. Do any of you have Alexa or Siri? Hi, Alexa. Oh, okay. Do you know the Bible is voice activated? It is. It's not enough to kind of read it in your mind. Read God's word out loud. Something happens when you walk the floor reading the Psalms, reading God's word, saying, God's word, you said this, you said this, you said this, you said this. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I just want you to catch it, though. It's not an optional extra. We need to learn to hear from God. If we don't learn to hear from God, we can't be led and guided by Him. We won't enter into that plan He has for our lives. And I think learning to hear His voice is a journey. I don't think anybody does it perfectly. I have noticed that when I meet people who think they do this amazingly well, I hear from God all the time, blah, blah, blah. There's usually very little proof of that in their life. People who walk in humility and know they're learning, they're growing, know they get this wrong sometimes. You know, I've got more confidence in them because God gives grace to the humble. And I think He wants us to be a people who are hungry for, again, to hear His voice relationally, devotionally, telling you love, but also that we can be led, we can be guided by Him, we can walk with Him. I also think one of the ways that the Lord wants to show the world He's alive, it's only one, it's not even the most important one, but it is an important one. God wants a church that can hear His voice. I have had so much fun, it should be illegal, in the last few weeks, praying for the sick outside of churches. And I've always done that a little bit, but I don't think I've ever done it as much as I have in the last few weeks. It's so much fun watching the kingdom of God crash in on somebody's life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I prayed for a lady the other day who had, I think it's stage 3 cancer, some Tuesday in Belgium. I went to pray for this lady, and we were praying for her cancer. And it's funny, as soon as we started praying, she had a deaf ear that, she hadn't mentioned, God opened a deaf ear. And it was like she said, I can hear for the first time in years. And here's my point. Suddenly her faith went up for the cancer. It's like God gave her something tangible, something demonstrable, something she could, oh, like, wow, this is actually happening. Do you know, I think God wants us to be a people who we don't judge by what we see, smell, feel, taste, or touch, that we are listening and learning, that He is leading and guiding us. Hallelujah. You guys are very quiet today. So how do we learn to hear God's voice? Come back next week and we'll tell you. Oh, man. Now, let me give you a few pointers here. Let me go real quick to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I know many of you know this passage, but it's such a great example. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 3, again, let me just set it up. Samuel, at the time of this story, is a young boy. He's about 7 or 8 years of age. Samuel is living in the temple at Shiloh. Well, there isn't a physical temple, but a tent temple at Shiloh. He's living with an old priest called Eli, who's the main leader of Israel at the time. And Samuel has a calling from God, but he doesn't really know the Lord yet. Let me read a few verses here. 1 Samuel 3, it says, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, Eli was laying down in his place when his eyes began to grow dim so that he could not see. Before the lamp of God went out, in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was. While Samuel was laying down, the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, here am I. So he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. Eli answered, I did not call you, lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, saying, Samuel. Samuel rose, went to Eli, said, here am I, for you did call me. Eli answered, I did not call you, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. There is a revealing of God's word that has to happen in our lives. Let me carry on reading. It says, the Lord called to Samuel the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, I am here, for you did call me. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lay down, and it shall be, if he calls you, you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went down and lay in his place. The Lord came and stood as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel answered and said, speak, for your servant hears. And the Lord carried on. Now, my goal today is not to describe what God said to Samuel. For the sake of time, let me flip down just to verse 19. It says, so Samuel grew. Say grew. The Lord was with him, and the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. For all Israel, from Dan, that's one end of Israel, to Beersheba, that's the other end, knew that Samuel had been established a prophet of the Lord. For the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, beloved, there are so many keys in this little story. I love this story. Let me just pick four or five of them really quickly. Number one, the Bible says Eli was laying down in his place, but Samuel chose to sleep right next to the ark. Now, you shouldn't touch, he didn't touch the ark, you might get killed, but it's like Samuel wanted to be as near as he could to the things of God. Do you catch that? Do you know there's something about being in God's presence a lot, that awakens something in you about hearing his voice. There's something about being in worship that makes it easier. God tends to speak to people who pursue him. And I tell you, learn to sleep next to the ark. You say, well, what does that mean? My point is, spend time with Jesus. Be with him a lot. Learn to be, you are the ark. No, you're not. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. But sometimes we live without the awareness. Sometimes switch the TV, the internet, all those things off, and sit in God's presence. Our biggest problem, I think, is we have the Spirit of God in us, but most of us are more influenced by our body and our soul and our emotions than we are by the Spirit of God. And I tell you, if you'll choose to spend time often in the presence of God, you'll begin to hear his voice more. The more time you spend with him, the louder he is. What happens to most of us is we pray and we say, Lord, speak to me. And the Lord says, I am doing. Lord, speak. Graham, shut up and listen. Lord, speak louder. No. Graham, come nearer. Lord, shout down from heaven. Graham, shut up. But you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Could you increase the volume? No, you could decrease the distance. And the nearer we get to God, the more it is. The more time we spend in his presence, the more that still small voice isn't like some vague little... I think for most of us, we hear from God, but it's like there's 100 voices in the room and we're trying to sort of pick that thing out. And did I hear, like, Lord, just all the chatter, all the noise, all the me, all the time. Learn to shut up. Learn to be still and know that I am God. There is a knowing, there's a knowledge of God that you don't get through a book, that we should all read books. There's a knowledge of God that comes when you shut up. And for most of us, our flesh doesn't like that. Your flesh wants God, but it wants God on its own terms. Your flesh, if you bring your flesh into the presence of the Lord and say, sit there, your flesh will enjoy it for about 2 minutes. And then your flesh will go, let's mow the lawn. Let's wash the dishes. Let's do some. And sometimes you've got to crucify, you've got to nail your flesh down. Shut up. And then you've got to speak to your soul and your mind. Shut up. Zip the lip. And after a while, the presence, the reality of God will get louder and louder. Come on, key number two, when God speaks. When I was young, my dad used to read me this story, and it would never make any sense to me. Because I would always say to my dad, how can this boy be so stupid that he can't tell the difference between God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and an old priest? I was like, I could tell the difference between God and a voice I hear every day. And I'll never forget my dad saying, no, you can't.
And this is what my dad said to me. Never said, he said, when God speaks, most of the time, he doesn't speak, thus saith the Lord. He speaks in a still, familiar, say familiar. Samuel heard God, and his first thought was, oh, it's Eli. I don't think it actually probably sounded like Eli. It was just natural, normal. He didn't shake. Oh, God. He's like, do you know, most of us, we are hearing from God. We just think it's ourselves. We think it's so natural, like just like little voice in your head. We just think it's us. God speaks in a familiar voice. There was another thing about the story. I used to argue with my dad. My dad was all, he's still awesome. He's just awesome in heaven. And I remember once saying to my dad, okay, God speaks to Samuel in a familiar voice. I've got you. But when Samuel wakes up and goes, oh, it's Eli, why didn't God say, no, it's me? Do you understand? If I spoke to one of my kids, Dylan, and Dylan got up and said, oh, it's the neighbor, I would go, no, it's daddy, it's me. Why did God let Samuel go three times? And it's interesting, what broke that cycle of Samuel hearing the voice, thinking it's Eli, it was only when Samuel said, speak, for I, your servant, am listening. If I can rephrase that, it's like Samuel said, I'm going to take a leap of faith, and I am going to believe that you are speaking to me, Lord. I'm going to believe that I am hearing the voice of God, that I'm not crazy, that I'm able to hear your voice. And when we take that same leap of faith, when you and I wake up every day and say, Lord, I am your child, I am your sheep, I hear your voice. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Lord, thank you, I can hear from you. Thank you, you're leading and guiding me. Lord, I'm a man, I can get it wrong, and I need to repent, whatever. But Lord, I thank you, I can hear from you. Lord, speak to me. I tell you, when you will do that, faith will open the voice. God speaks to your faith. Satan speaks to your fear. If you come like, oh, the sky's going to fall down, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, whatever, Satan will speak to you. If you shut the fear off, perfect love drives out fear. And say, Lord, speak. I'm listening to what you're saying. I believe you're speaking and leading and guiding me. I tell you, when you believe God is leading and guiding you, he will lead and guide you. And I think we in the charismatic world get way too much into technique and how God leads. I'm less interested. God can lead you in 10,000 different ways. I was in Belgium in a town called Tournai on Monday of last week. I remember once years ago preaching in this church. And I preached here on a Monday, and I'm about to drive back to the south of France where Leah and I lived. And I had a young man who'd been traveling with me for that week. And as we left the house we were staying with, we had about an 8 to 10 hour drive. I prayed, Lord, give us somebody to share Jesus with today. We want to share our faith on this journey. And I start driving. I've been driving for 2 minutes when my car starts like bouncing and rattling, like one of the tires are empty or whatever. And I see a service area on the highway. So I pull over and it's pouring with rain. And I'm, you know, getting there. I'm trying to keep my head dry. And I've got a tire pressure gauge. I'm checking all of the tires. And all of the tires are fine. And part of me thinking like, oh, no, I'm going to be bombing down the highway at 90 miles an hour. It's Europe. I really want to make sure these tires are okay. And I'm like looking. Like, I know there's a problem here. And suddenly, this German young man came up and tapped me on the shoulder with a backpack. And he said, are you driving anywhere near Paris? I'm a hitchhiker. I need a ride. And suddenly, it's like, oh, yeah, we just prayed. I think God made my tires bump just to get my attention. And we said, yeah, we'll drop you off outside of Paris. Put this young guy in the back of my car, put his backpack in my trunk, and started driving like a bat out of hell. And I had a CD in my car. You know one of those testimonies, like 23 minutes in hell? It's a true story. We put the CD on. And we're driving, bumming down the highway. Occasionally, I look in the rearview mirror, and this German's going green. And he's listening to this testimony of somebody who went to hell. And it was amazing. We stopped at the outskirts of Paris to drop him off. We didn't ask him. He said, would you pray for me? I need to become a Christian. We're like, yeah, okay, we can do that. Come on, I tell you, God wants to lead you in a million ways, but what we've got to do is to believe that we're being led. And I've shared this recently. God showed me something a few weeks ago that I've never seen anybody teach and has really changed my life. So often, let me put it this way. Whenever we want to move in the supernatural, our carnal mind doesn't like it. Whenever you try and hear from God, your mind will go, that makes no sense. That's not reasonable. That's just you. Your mind will yap like a little dog. If you want to hear from God, take authority over your mind and say, just shut up for 5 minutes. I want to put my spirit behind the driving wheel, not my mind. Your carnal mind can't hear from God because it doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. And if you take authority over your mind, just say, sit down for 5 minutes and shut up and begin worshiping. Let your spirit rise up within you. You will begin to hear from God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says Samuel grew and he established a testimony that he really was hearing from God. I think that's what we need to do. I think we need to build our own testimony by practicing often, by making it normal each and every day. Lord, speak to me. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Not some big thing. You know, I've noticed when people get themselves in trouble with hearing from God, here's what usually happens. You'll see somebody who never practices hearing from God in the small things, and then they try and do it in the really big things. And they fail, they fall, and sometimes the whole faith is, it's like it's rocked the foundation. You know, somebody's dying and they're really trying, they think God maybe said that this person would live, and the problem is we learn to walk by taking baby steps. We learn to talk by saying mama, da-da, guga, whatever, just like little. Noah went around for 6 months saying, Uga. I said, she's filled with the Spirit. Oh, no, he wasn't. She had one word for 6 months. Here's the thing. Grow in these things. Put them into practice. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I think God's got glorious things which he's plotted and planned for our life before the foundation of the world. And what we should do every day is say, Lord, order my steps. You know, it's not our job to try to persuade God to do something. God's already planned glorious things for us. The problem is at times we're so dull, we're so asleep at the wheel, we're so wrapped up in ourselves that we don't have eyes to see what he is doing. I love the passage where it says, the rich young ruler came to Jesus. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know, I think rather than trying to be prophetic, and if we take a moment and just look at somebody and love them, and really, really love them, do you know God will start giving you keys to their life and words and things like that? But it's not about making us look good and performing. It's about looking at people and absolutely loving them. Say, Lord, give me something which will unlock their hearts. Give me a word. Give me something which is, I think if we'll practice loving people and if we'll practice taking a step of faith. Amen. Do you know, every time you move in the supernatural, it requires faith. It takes no faith to pray for the sick. It takes faith to pray for the sick and say, I believe God's going to heal you right now. To commit yourself. God is already committed by his word. What we need to do is commit ourselves. And I think the Lord wants us to have this vision where every day God is orchestrating things, working things. How often I think we miss amazing opportunities because we're not willing to do, we're just not even noticing what God is doing. I've shared this here before, but once a few years ago when I was living in France, I'd been here in America preaching. And on my last day, I was in New Hampshire, and I had to drive down to Boston, Logan Airport, to fly back to France. I was flying through Philadelphia,
then over to Amsterdam, and then to Lyon, France. And I'm in a rush to get to the airport. And I'm driving down through the north of Boston, through Saugus. You know where Saugus is? I think it's Route 1 or something, where there's like a big double lane. Not an interstate, but a large route that goes down there. And as I'm driving down, suddenly I see a Starbucks in the distance. This is for you, Laurie, if you want to take notes. And I suddenly, this little thought came to me, pull over and get a cup of coffee. Now, it could have been the devil, but I kind of felt it was the Lord. So I pulled over, ordered a cup of coffee. The place is empty. And I just had this sort of niggling sense God wanted me to do something. So I sat there for about 10 minutes, and then I've got a plane to catch, and I've got to return a rental car and, you know, a little bit of pressure. So I got up to leave, and suddenly the Holy Spirit, it's like he shouted, sit down. And I really knew he wanted me to do something there. So in the end, I went over and tried to witness to the barista. She was like, not interested, don't know. And I was like, Lord, I tried. And I felt the Lord say, sit down. And I'm sitting there in this empty Starbucks with a coffee, watching the clock tick. And I'm getting more and more like, After about 15 minutes, and it really tested my faith, this young man walked in. He's about 27, 28, and he sat down at the other end of the Starbucks. And I'm kind of looking at him going like, is this the one? Or should we wait for another? You know, is this him? And I'm trying to sort of smile at him in a nice, you get what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to be friendly, but not too friendly. Friendly in a very masculine way. And I'm sort of there like, Lord, I feel nothing. And suddenly this guy gets a Bible out and starts reading it. And I'm like, bunk, I'm in. And I go over to this guy and say hello. And he says, like, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm an evangelist and a pastor. I live in France. This guy breaks down crying. He said, I'm a pastor. He said, I've got a church, a vineyard church here in Saugus. His name is Joel. He said, my mom is French. And we just started this conversation. And in the end, both of us didn't even know why we were talking. But both of us said, this is God. And we need to keep in touch. And, you know, we prayed together, hugged him, got in my car, drove like a bat out of hell again. Got to the airport, dumped the car, went through security, everything else. I arrived at my gate, and the plane had gone. Have you ever been mad at the Lord for a moment? And as I got there, there's this, you know, young lady working for the airline. She said, you're Mr. Jones, aren't you? She said, you missed your plane, didn't you? And I was like, yeah. She said, don't worry, there's another flight in 50 minutes. We've got you booked on that. You'll make your Atlantic flight. Everything's good. She said, and the good news is we've given you first class, the only business class, whatever, the only seat free. So I'm like, hallelujah. Sit there. 50 minutes later, I'm the first person on the plane. Hallelujah. Sitting in my really comfortable seat in first class, you know, glass of champagne, whatever. They're about to close the doors, and suddenly Mitt Romney, you know, the politician, walks in and sits next to me. It's a really weird day. And then this guy, Mitt Romney, used to be the governor of Massachusetts, you know, ran for president. This is back in about 2009, 2010, about 2 years before he ran for president. And he sits next to me, and then he says, right, tell me what you do for a living. Tell me all about your life. And I'm like, I'm glad you asked. And I can't say I led him to the Lord, because I didn't, but I really got to share the gospel with him and said, like, you know, I respect Mormons, the lifestyle, but that's not the gospel, and we got to share things. And he asked me to pray for him at the end. And come on, God wants to order our steps. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, it's funny, the pastor I met, Joel, he'd been tasked with hosting all the vineyard pastors from America. They were all coming to New England that year to do a big weekend retreat in New Hampshire. And when he got home, the guest speaker canceled. I flew back to France, and this guy called me up, and he said, I know this is crazy, and you just met me, but I prayed, and God wants you to come and speak to all the vineyard pastors. And he's like, could we fly you back in 2 weeks? Would you speak for the whole weekend to all these pastors? Come on, God's
You catch what I'm saying? God wants to orchestrate us. That's how Jesus lived every day. I don't think Jesus was so spiritual. My point is, he wasn't weird. Ooh, God spoke. He was natural and normal. He walked with his Father. He knew he was loved by his Father. He believed that the Lord was ordering his steps. Even when his friend Lazarus dies, he's like, you know, the Lord's got this. You know, we're just gonna walk the thing out. And, you know, he wasn't rushed. Satan is not in charge of your footsteps. Satan is not in charge of the vision. God's got a plan. And he doesn't want us to spend our lives looking for the plan. He wants us to spend our lives believing. Believe you're in the will of God until he tells you you're out. And then repent. Just believe you're in the will of God. Believe he's guiding and leading you. Acknowledge him in all your ways. What will happen? He will direct your steps. The communication of our faith is made effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. And if every day we'll be saying, Lord, I hear from you. I hear from you in the big things. I hear from you in the little things. And that we'll be willing to practice and have a go and not be so perfect that we never make mistakes. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I want to close here, but I want to pray that God will give us a hearing ear. Would you put your hands on your ears today? Come on. Father, thank you that you created the hearing ear. Lord, I thank you that you are not a dumb idol. You are a speaking God. God who spoke in various and sundry ways has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And Lord, I thank you we are here today because you spoke out of darkness into light. You spoke and we heard the gospel. And Father, I pray that you'd awaken our ear morning by morning. You'll awaken our ear to hear your voice. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Lord, I pray we won't be dull of hearing. I pray you'll give us sensitivity in our ears. And Father, we just thank you. We bless you. Father, I pray you'll raise in this house a bunch of crazy, daring people who bring the word of the Lord to every situation. I pray you'll speak about our marriages, our children, our businesses, our education, our nation, how we vote, the different things we're involved in. Let us not follow the crowd, but let us be led and guided by you. We pray, we believe, we receive in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, a couple of practical things as well. Leah has some soup, some French soup. So I can testify it's good. And I know there are some pastries Debbie got down there as well. So there's some soup, some dessert downstairs. Please do stay and have some lunch. We're going to have a prayer team up here in a moment, and we would love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for, we'll pray for anything that moves. Thank you, Jesus. I really mean that, guys. Let's contend for healing. And can I just lovingly encourage you? Sometimes we get used to things in our life. We get used to a sickness or a disease or something. Oh, that's okay. Oh, I get through life. I muddle through. And I know we can, and there's a good side to that. But I tell you, don't get used to things. Yeah, don't get used to things. If I had paid a great price to give you a gift, and you just like, oh, I don't need it. That will go. You know, that would be hurtful to me. Jesus paid a great price for our salvation, our healing, our freedom. He paid the price on the cross. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all of your diseases. And can we struggle at times? Yes, amen. But my encouragement to you is let's contend even for the small. Sometimes God does a little small thing in you and your faith just rockets. So I encourage you, let's not be timid and about, let's be greedy about getting some prayer. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So guys, we love you, we bless you. Stay warm and dry this beautiful day. And do stay and have some lunch. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.